And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Smith and Roland podcast, where we are the arbiters of all truth. We're waiting on Mr. Alan Smith to join us. He will be right with us, although at his age, it takes him a while to navigate these technological devices that we use. Now, most people understand that. The scriptures does point out that in the last days, knowledge will increase, but somehow that was not passed down in its fullness to Alan Smith. So he has a little bit of a hard time with the program. There he
And
is, ladies
speaking
and
of
gentlemen, as I
increase,
said, he would be there.
speaking of increased knowledge, then I show up. I mean, who would think? Who would think? I mean,
wait a minute. This is not playing out the
prophetic,
way I needed
prophetic.
it to play out.
Yeah,
But anyway,
prophetic,
welcome,
Yeah,
welcome
that's
to the
right.
Smith and Roland podcast, Mr. Smith. How are you
Thank
today?
you. Thank you, Mr. Roland. As I was going on, I got a phone call from somebody wanting to buy land, and I wouldn't have answered it, but I couldn't. They wouldn't quit, so I had
I
to answer
understand.
it and
I
tell them to
understand.
quit. So there you go.
I understand. Yeah, there we are.
We've got a little topic here that we'll maybe be discussing for a few podcasts, maybe even Sunday, about the letter to the American church about Eric Metaxas.
Yeah, cool.
Eric Metaxas is a he's written a letter to American church and I think several other books, but he is really making the case that the American church is acting like the church in Germany with the rise of Nazism and where, of course, as we know now, millions of people were killed. And but let me start off this little article as we can as we start our discussion here on this book. And there again, we're going to have several discussions because this is speaking about Jeff, the American church. Where what role do we play? And we can talk about how our country, is going wacko. But then this book is about the role the American church plays in all of these dynamics. So here starts the article in which the article is written. I might cite the author, Steve Bateman. This is actually a little older article, right when the book came out, but nonetheless, it serves our purpose this morning. Eric Metaxas has written a provocative book for a large audience. In Letter to the American Church, he assumes a prophetic role. The American Church, he warns, is committing the same mistakes in the 2020s as the German church did in the 1930s. If we continue course, similar catastrophic consequences await us. By choosing silence, German pastors facilitated the rise of Nazism, and the innocent blood of millions is on their hands. The current complacency of the American church, especially its pastors, leads to similar red-handed guilt. As a best-selling Christian author and host of a national syndicated radio program, Metaxas has cultivated a wide influence, and this book will be well received by many fans. The letter urges Christians to fight against Marxism ideology, abortion, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, and government policies that threaten religious liberty. These are indeed credible threats to the church in America. Metaxas wants to motivate pastors to raise their voices and lead their members to political activism. Despite elements of truth, I offer four cautious Christians, especially pastors, who will encounter the arguments of this book, and we'll get into that in a minute. So that's the introduction there, truck driver, pastor, prophet, Apostle Roland.
I'm glad you got all of my titles in there. You left a few out because I have several letters at the end of my name. But let me just say, I do
You had the
believe that
topic.
I did. I believe that Metaxas' book is relevant. I think it opens up a door of discussion. I think there are some biblical bottom lines to consider when as you read his book. And in those biblical bottom lines, I think you have the issue of faith. And if you define, if you start defining that term faith, there is many elements to defining faith. I'm not even really sure that we've got all of the elements of the definition of what faith even is and what it looks like. But we do know that faith, as far as the constitution of the body of truth that God has delivered, should be attached, according to the book of James, with works. What I mean by that is what we believe should be manifested in the way we live. And I think that what we believe is manifested in the way we live. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you can separate the two at all. If you have faith, whatever your belief system or belief structure is, you're going to live the way you believe. That's a bottom line, and I think it's a principle from the Word of God that needs to be considered in light of His book. Now, when you consider His book, then you've got to raise the question, okay, based on what the church is faced with in our nation and in the world, and based on how the church is responding, then you've got to determine whether or not there's going to be consequences to the way we respond,
right,
whether it be in silence or I say that there's going to be consequences to the way we respond. Whether it be we respond in silence, there'll be a consequence to that. If we respond in speaking out truth, there'll be a consequence to that. And based on the consequences, should not be the judge of what we do or how we live. Because there could be bad consequences to speaking up. There could be worse consequences to remaining silent, which I believe is the case. But either way, there's going to be consequences to the way you live. So you've got to structure the way you live by what you believe, which I think is what's happening. I don't think there's that many people that really believe the Word of God, and I think that's why the church is silent today.
I'll tell you something else to consider too, Jeff. You know, most people, Jeff, the average American, let's say, or let's say the average working American, blue-collar America, most people are working, trying to make a living. They're trying to go through Monday, get to Friday, or maybe Saturday, but get a paycheck, pay their groceries, insurance, and house payment, car payment. And a lot of people's time in average America, let me say it that way, is spent in trying to make a living. So that doesn't excuse anything, but what it does do, it keeps them from not being as well informed as they should be. Now, that doesn't keep you from being well informed, not this day and hour, but nonetheless, I still hold to, and you know that I think this is nothing new, that I'm more, and it's probably just my hope, that people are more just not informed as they are behaving badly. And of course, a lot of people choose to be not informed. You and I have discussed a lot of people, and we've called their names between ourselves, on how it's like they just stick their head in the sand and they just don't want to know. And I understand for some people the pressure of it's too much, but for a lot it's just plain old sorriness, and they don't want to stand for anything, but they want the rest of us to stand for something. But they don't want to stand for it. They don't want to take the hit or invest the time, because one thing that truth demands, and that's invested time to uphold truth. You can't do it just by holding it in your mind, and that's what you talk about, the activity or the activeness of a church or whatever, to tell truth and not to be active in truth. What's the use of learning truth?
Yeah. And I would just say to that, I do believe that there is an element out there that's just exactly like you say. I would also say that if our faith produces a behavior and we live out what we believe, then you would have to conclude that there are people that believe, if they can hide from what they consider to be bad, that bad will go away. Now, if you believe that, you're self-deceived. If you look at the evil that's in the world and try to put a good picture on it and say, well, we're trusting in the sovereignty of God because all of these things are supposed to happen anyway, then you're cutting out 90% of the mandates of the Word of God, which says you don't believe it. Now you would make the argument that they believe it, but don't they just don't want to do it? I hear that argument, and I believe that there's
well,
an
that's
element
a small,
of that that's
that's a
true.
Small. Yeah. There's a group of, you know, you got to divide people up into maybe 10 groups, but
Well, and I would also say this: the last census that I heard said that there are 55 million Americans that profess to be Christian in our country right now, 55 million. Now, if there were 55 million Christians that really truthfully believed the Word of God, I am of the opinion that that would have such an effect upon our government and upon our nation that I don't think that we would be faced with a lot of the social ills that we're faced with, nor the governmental corruption that we have. I don't believe we would. So I can't buy into that as a believable statistic. And that's why I always end up with at this place of that most people don't really believe what they say they believe. There's a lot of people say, I believe in Jesus, but they're basically saying is I believe that Jesus was a historical figure and, you know, he doesn't have a lot of impact on their life. To that group, I would say, I don't believe they're saved. I don't believe they're born again. And I don't believe that they're Christian. So they may profess to be Christian and they're not. And we know that there is a very large group. As a matter of fact, the Bible says many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have we not cast out devils and prophesied in thy name and done all these works? And the Lord will say, I don't know who you are. So, and he classifies that as a group called many. So I have a caution because I do believe that from a cyclical nature, I don't think we're like the church in Germany. I think we're a whole lot worse.
No.
Yeah, I really do. I really do.
There you go. You heard it first here on Smith and Rowland.
I think Metaxas got it wrong. That's right. I don't think that we're like the church in Germany at all. I think we're a lot worse. And one reason I say that is the church in Germany remains silent. The church in America, there is a large group that's remaining silent, but there's another group in the church in America that's raising their voice. However, they're raising their voice in agreement with the social degradation that's affecting America. You've got transgenders leading worship services in some denominations, then they're raising their voice, but they're raising their voice for the wrong thing. If you've
let
got
me raise,
all of that, you know what I'm saying. That's the case I'd make.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I totally agree, but let me take that one a step further. Mm-hmm. The transgender doesn't bother me as bad for some reason as those that embrace the transgender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I totally
now,
agree
I have,
with that
I
comment.
Have
sympath- yeah.
I have sympathy for the transgender.
I do too.
That they have a mental illness of dysmorphia.
That's
and all
right.
Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. But for those that are sympathizers that this is legitimate behavior.
Right.
I tell you what's truth. I find it hard to have much grace for it, Jeff.
I do too. Because
you know
I
better.
That's
you know
happening.
Better.
That's right. And
you
I believe that's
better.
What's happening. You know, we're inviting people to come as they are. And then we're saying, stay as you are. You're okay. And they're
and
not.
That's heresy.
And
that is
that's
heresy.
We're sending people to hell. And that's why I say we're in a lot worse shape now than the church in Germany was. I don't even think it's close. So, you know, that's my take on it. And I understand, you know, people that there's an argument that says that the church shouldn't be politicized and all of those things. But all of that is just shallow lies from hell that Satan is using to deceive the people of God and keep them from fulfilling the mandate and the call of God that's on our life. And here's something to consider, Alan. We're now living in a land that where YouTube just took down a video by Jordan Peterson, who interviewed Robert Kennedy, and they took that video down because Robert Kennedy mentioned something about the vaccine. Now, here's what I'm saying. We're go into the political arena, and we've got a man who is running for president of the United States that his voice is being canceled out by the elite crowd that wants to destroy him because of power, because of money and greed, and all of these things that and are trying to stay in power. Okay, that's the land we live in. That is a totalitarian, communistic rule. Now, that's the loss of our freedom of speech. If we don't raise our voice as a church, then the government will make it illegal to raise your voice at all. Now, that's where we're headed.
Well, and we're so almost there now, Jeff.
Yeah, we're almost there. That's exactly right. And so to those who would say, no, I'm just going to stay inside the walls of the church and go worship God. Okay, then you take the Great Commission out of the Bible and you say you don't believe it. It's real hard to reconcile to me your professed faith in Christ to a political ideology and viewpoint that thinks it's okay to murder babies, that thinks it's okay to destroy the family, that thinks it's okay to destroy children. I have a hard time with people who want to reconcile their faith to that kind of ideology. And I also have a hard time for people to reconcile their faith to that and not speaking out against that ideology.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but you're having a lot of hard times these days.
Yeah, I got a hard time. We're in a hard place, guys. We're just in a hard place. We're in a hard place. That's what they said on Old Brother, Where Art Thou? We're in a hard place.
Right.
We're just in a hard spot.
Well, Delmar, we're in a hard spot.
That's right. It is, Pete. Look at him. We're just in a hard spot. Yeah.
That's what he said. That one, you got me sidetracked there. But
well,
that's the truth.
It is
I had
true.
I had a visual. I had a visual.
We're in a tight spot.
We're in a tight
That's
spot.
Right. That's right.
Oh, mercy, oh brother, where art thou? That's what.
Yeah.
That'd make you want to sing that song right there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I tell you, Roland, the American church or Christians today, you know, we could probably, if we really wanted to get really tight on the topic, we could probably divide everybody up in 8 or 10 different categories.
I agree.
But here's the issue, I think, and here is the problem. They all have the same bad outcome. In
yeah,
other words,
that's
you,
right.
That's the problem. You can say, well, I'm this. Well, no, I'm more this. No, I'm more. Well, I mean, time you get through all of them, they all have the same outcome, and that is
that's
America
right.
goes to hell in a handbasket.
That's right. While we stand by and say nothing.
And put everybody in a category so we don't hurt somebody's feelings. I tell you the truth, Jeff, I used to be concerned, you know, even about preaching, that this preacher's preaching a little too hard or this and a little too salt or whatever. But and I was always worried about, I hate to admit it, but in my younger years, I was worried about hard preaching, on how that was too hard and it hurt somebody's feelings. But in all honesty, I don't know which is best, get your feelings hurt now or burn in hell forever.
That's right. And Alan, I heard a preacher that this come to my mind. He was an old preacher. He's dead now. That he used to preach some things that I didn't agree with, really. He, as a matter of fact, and I'll name it, but he said this. He used to preach on men wearing long hair and women wearing breeches. And he
Yep,
preached
yep.
on it so hard. I mean, he was just ripping it up. And I thought to myself then, I thought, why don't you just preach the gospel? Get on, you know, get to Jesus. Here's one thing he said. Now he's dead. He's been dead for a long time, several decades.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
here's what he said, Alan. He said, the reason I preach on men wearing long hair and women wearing breeches is because he said, if I don't, there's going to come a time that men's going to look like women and women's going to look like men, and you won't be able to tell them apart. And that's an abomination before the Lord. Now, watch this. He wasn't wrong. Now
Well, I mean, there's.
we can debate on him preaching on men wearing short hair and women wearing dresses, but I can tell you that he wasn't wrong. We're now seeing a time where you can't tell the difference. Furthermore, I'll add to that, you can't tell the difference anymore between the lost man and the saved man. We all do the same things. We talk the same way. We look the same way. There's no difference. We go to the same places. We drink the same drinks. And then we want to say, oh, but I'm a Christian. Well, I want to tell you, that's not in agreement with the Word of God, Alan. That's not in agreement with the Word of God.
Well,
So,
for some reason, I knew you was going to go there. I mean, I
yeah,
just
I'm glad.
call me a
Thank you, though.
prophet or
Yeah,
just call me.
that's right.
I've heard you preach for 40 years. I know you
Yeah,
was going there.
that's right. That's
And
right.
yeah, winder
Yeah,
shut,
and
winder shut.
you got to say amen to it because you know I'm right. And
Well,
that's what they call me, Jeff Wright Rowland hashtag.
I don't have to say you're right. I can say you're wrong and then I'll repent of it later. But I can still say you're just wrong. That's all. And
I can tell you this. The bottom line for me on Metaxas's book, and I know we'll discuss it later, but the bottom line for me is people do what they believe. And by
they
what
do,
they
they
do,
do, they do,
by
they
what
do.
they do, you can tell what they believe.
Let
So,
me ask you, a question. Don't you think you're just a little too old timey?
Yeah, and I'm loving it.
Well, wait
I'm just
a
loving
minute
it
now.
because
Well, wait a
I feel
minute.
right with God there. I just feel right with God there. Yeah.
Well, no, you went to the end too quick. I mean, I was wanting to talk about that a
I'm just
little
embracing it and I'm
Now
just really loving it. Yeah.
what is it in you that identifies with the old timey? I mean, there's got to be feelings or something in you. I know it's Holy Spirit, but it's got to be something in you that I've known you for years, Roland.
Yeah.
And you'll always go right back there and you'll
Yeah.
shut the window every time.
Yeah,
But
that's
I'm
right.
not talking about that. What I'm talking about, what is it that's in you? Can you identify? Because a lot of people say, well, that's Jeff and he's just old timey. I'm bringing it up on purpose
Yeah, good.
because I know some of the criticism that comes against you. Now,
Right.
in all honesty, so our listeners will know, there's a greater, greater, greater majority that loves what Jeff does. There's a few critics, and we like to talk about the critics because it's fun.
It's
And
fun, that's right.
because it's fun. But I want to I mean really there's dissect that just a little bit if you can. I don't know if you can even put it in words, but what is it, Jeff, that you I mean I've seen you try doing you've tried everything and at the end of the day 6 months, 3 months, 1 hour. At the end of the day, you end up at the same spot. Now, tell me
Yeah.
what drives you on that. I don't know if you can find the words, but.
I can find a few. They was instilled in me when I was growing up. That those old timers, they had an honor, a fear, and a reverence of the Word of God. And they never did try to see how close to the edge of sin they could get to without sinning.
Yeah.
What their ideology was, their thought process was to stay away from it as far as you can because
Yeah.
sin will bite you. And
Yeah. Yeah.
there's something about that that's right. Now, do I understand the excesses in a lot of that legalistic world? I do.
Oh,
I do. I was
yeah.
in it, so I understand the excesses. But there was still something right about it, and the something that was right about it was that they wanted people to come as far away from the cliff of destruction as they could get. And they had such a fear and a reverence for the Word of God that they didn't want to violate it.
Right.
And to that, I can relate to. There's safety in that for the believer. There's security in that for the believer. And then we're right back to most people are seeing just how far to the edge of sin they can go without sinning. And the problem is we are now so lukewarm and we have lost that reverence. We've lost that fearfulness and it's no longer existent. We preach and we talked about this Sunday. I believe that we're being swallowed up with a freedom with no responsibility. And I just, it breaks my heart, really. It just breaks my heart.
Well, we've discussed, you know, and part of your concern has been in our conversation is you have a deep desire to speak into the younger generation.
Yes,
we were talking
absolutely.
About Gen Z and,
absolutely.
And DC, and part of your frustration is that you feel like that they can't hear what you're saying, or that your language of preaching is not understood. In other words, you have some concerns, but yet we have kind of the millennials are actually, and because what Jeff does isn't what I guess it's not, this isn't a conclusive statement, but Jeff has what we would call more of an old time preaching to a degree. But he has a lot of contemporary intellectual understanding of a Jordan Peterson, if you will, a little bit concepts thrown in there with it, which I think makes it very, very interesting. The only difference in Jeff's preaching, you got to pay attention. If you're not paying attention, you'll get lost. Kind of like taking algebra. If you don't pay attention all the way through, you'll get lost. And that's sort of
you'll
the way Jeff's preaching is. But Jeff, we've also discovered just like, take Jason and Cody, which is on the podcast with us right regular. I think they're millennials. And they don't have any problem with following your style preaching, and they receive.
I'm not sure that Jason's ever heard me preach. Cody has, but I'm not sure Jason has. But the point is, I believe this. I believe that millennial group. And Jason pointed this out Sunday, and I agree with him. That millennial group, I believe there is the beginnings of a stirring within that group for truth. I think they've tried, and they're coming up empty. And what they're wanting is somebody to tell them the truth. Now,
truth is the issue. Yeah,
that's truth's the issue. And I'm not sure Generation Z or X or Y or Y or whatever the generation behind the millennials, I'm not sure they've got there yet. I there's elements of everybody that's just hungry for the truth. But there is a move that is a strategy from hell that is trying to take truth and pervert it and pass it off to that generation. I fear that they're going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker if they're not rooted and grounded in the truth of the Word of God. And what does the Word say? You know, what does the Bible say? Mm-hmm. Alan, can I just say this? I know we're going a little bit long here, but the Bible has always been the issue. It's the Bible. It's not, it's over the, everything's over the Bible. You can talk about abortion, for example. Okay, well, it's about what the Bible says. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Now that to me, when you was in your mother's womb, I put my words in your mouth and ordained you as a prophet. God said that to Jeremiah. Now that speaks that life begins even before conception. Mm-hmm. Life is in the heart of God. So to say that a baby is is not a human in its mother's womb, you're not arguing with the culture or society. You're saying you don't believe the Bible. So it's always about the Bible. every issue, homosexuality, transgenderism, it's about, do you believe the Bible? It's not about what, you know, and so that is ultimately always the argument. Satan always calls into question the Bible. So we got to get back to the truth of the Word of God. That's that. You know what I'm saying? That's anyway. That's,
I do.
Yeah.
That's just right. Winders shut. That's just Winders shut.
Winders just shut on it. That's right.
Yeah. All right, Roland. We run out of time here. We're gonna have to put in another quarter if we keep talking.
I understand.
And I'm out of quarters, so we're gonna stop it right there. We'll pick it up again in the morning.
We'll
do a raw unplugged in the morning. You're gonna be listening to unplugged and raw. Smith and Roland, no editing. It'll have glitches and mashes and shatters.
Yeah, it's gonna have all of it in it. That's
it's
exactly
gonna have it all,
right.
But here that's it is exactly in the raw. All right.
And
Roland,
always remember to pray for my son-in-law Chad that he'll get better looking because he's just hideous. Just remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Have I told you you're terrible? You're just absolutely terrible. Be in prayer for Brother Jeff. All right, buddy.
I'll see you.
Bye. Huh? No good. They're breaking. Oh. The watch no good. What's he saying? Watch this. Watch this. Look out. He's saying that's not stopping. Say it again, so watch it. No working. You can go ahead. You can put that up. It was. Hey, Siri.